אנחנו קוראים בספר כתבי בעל
הספר. We're reading from Kabbalah for the Student, page 245, the article Matan Torah, item 9. You can ask questions on CAP TV. Selected questions will be asked during the lesson.
נמשיך.
So let's continue. Item 9. Indeed, we need to examine the heart and the source of this natural law, and who it was that fathered the flaw of shame and impotence that we feel upon receiving charity from another. It is understood from a law that is known to scientists that each branch bears the same nature as its root, and that the branch also desires, seeks, and craves, and benefits from all the conducts of the root. Conversely, all the conducts that are not in the root, its branch removes itself from them, cannot tolerate them, and is harmed by them. This law exists between each root and its branch and cannot be breached. Now, here opens before us a door to understand the source of all the pleasures and pains in our world. Since the Creator is the root of His creations, we feel all that exists in Him and extends to us directly from Him as pleasant and delightful because our nature is close to our root. And everything that is not in Him and does not extend to us directly from Him, but contradicts creation itself, will be against our nature and difficult for us to tolerate. Thus, we love to rest and hate to move so much that we do not make a single movement if not for the attainment of rest. That is, because our root is immobile but at rest, and no motion exists in Him whatsoever, therefore it is against our nature and loathsome to us.
ולפיכך יהיה זה גם כן נגד טבענו ושנואה לנו. ועל דרך זה...
Last paragraph again. Therefore, but the same token, by the same token, we love wisdom, strength, and wealth, etc. Because all those exist in Him who is our root. And hence, we hate their opposites, such as foolishness, weakness, and poverty, since they do not exist in our root at all. This makes us feel hateful and loathsome, and pains us immeasurably.
Shilot.
Questions?
Yeah.
Why does he say here that there is no motion, no movement in our root? The Creator is not in motion. You know why? Tell us. When is there motion? You see? He knows and you don't. How could that be? Motion is a sign of a reality of that there is some kind of lack, that in order to that a certain object, in order to complete its deficiency and bring itself to satisfaction, does some kind of it moves in some way. And in the Creator, where the Creator doesn't move, He has no chisaron. He has the deficiency to bestow, but It's not a kind of chisaron that we consider movement. He does plenty of actions, everything that he does. But there's none else besides him. He did, does, and will do everything, so he's doing all the time. We're not doing anything. Right. But everything that he does out of the will to bestow, not out of deficiency. The deficiency to bestow is not considered a deficiency. You have to define what is the chisaron.
So relative to the deficiency
to the
or
the actions?
The motion or?
Let's put it this way. When you love someone and you're headed and you're about to meet them and you have to go for a kilometer, suppose. If you have to walk for to work for a kilometer, then for you it's a bother. I'll go and I'll have to stand and you know, there'll be people in line there and everyone's going to be crying and I don't know what. But if you're going to meet someone, you're about to meet someone that you really want to meet, it's not a problem. It becomes a stroll, walk in the park. What's the difference between just walking and strolling or being on a journey? Because strolling is something that you enjoy. You don't have to get to work or something. Whereas if I have to get to some place that I don't want to go to, then that's a bother. That's work.
So what does he want to tell us by this? That the work of being like the Creator is kind of...
Being like the Creator is not work. You know, there are people very rich that suppose they want to do some kind of simple work, yeah, like a kind of game. They pay for it, they get into it, they do something, they enjoy what they're doing, and they pay for it, and they're satisfied. It doesn't mean that they worked. To work means against your will. Therefore, the Creator has no work. Even though that it's called the work of the Creator, but it's pleasure to fulfill us, and correct us, just ask Him to do it. By this, you give Him pleasure, you give Him contentment, what we call contentment.
So what he's writing, he wants to invite us to turn to the Creator, so that the Creator will do the work?
Of course, this is what he's waiting for. The Creator is waiting just for one thing. He created everything in a way that you can ask about him about everything. Ask him as if I have nothing. Give me, help me, do for me, do instead of me all the time. This means that we have no actions.
So all our toil and suffering and all that we do,
because we want to do it ourselves. You see? So from that moment on, you're free. No work, no nothing. You're asking, and he's doing. That's called that the righteous prays, and the Creator does.
Why doesn't this happen in reality?
Because you don't want to ask. People don't know how to ask, can't ask, but if someone knows how to. For the tiniest thing you want, you'll get it.
So how to ask? What's the secret that the Creator will hear?
For the Creator to hear, so that your request will be to give Him contentment. If this is what you want, then in return He'll give you everything you're asking for.
And what brings Him content? What will bring Him contentment?
Doesn't matter what. You want $1 million. Ask. Only in such a way that He'll get contentment from it.
So in what way will it bring Him contentment?
Through the group, through the friends, Arvut, no problem. Well, this is still far away, but let's continue.
Can I ask on another topic? The whole south of Israel is under what we call red color and nonstop missile and rockets that are being shot over them. How do you do something in such a state?
I don't think that we're thinking about how to end this war. This war will not cease. It'll only go and grow. And we'll have to give more and more, we'll have to make more and more concessions to our neighbors. And that won't help either. We see it now with our own eyes. You give them millions of dollars. You give them a direct line to Cyprus, other benefits. You open different things for them, and what? In return, this is the response that you see. It's a very good response. I put it this way. I don't see their wisdom in this. It's really... At least wait a week or two after you've received so much, and then find a reason, and you can attack 200 missiles, doesn't matter what and how, but for there to be some kind of reason. Here it's... Meaning, here we see something very simple, it's very conspicuous, that nothing's going to help. Neither concessions, nor giving money, nor allowing them to go to Cyprus. Do you understand what it means? It's, being able to directly receive weapons. How are they allowed to get tens of millions of dollars from Qatar? So we see that we also can't withstand the pressure. The solution is the only one. To reach a connection between us, by which to draw the reforming light that influences everyone, including our cousins, and then everyone will unite as one, and everyone will want to be around the people of Israel because they bring them the method of correction, and this is what the world needs, the method of connection, how to connect. Therefore, until we give the world what the world so needy of, and more from day to day, you see what's going on in Europe, what's going on in South America, and between China and Japan and Russia and so on. You have all the NATO trainings around Sweden and Finland. The world's becoming really full of obstacles, mines. We have to understand, we have no choice. But to bring connection. And it depends on us, and therefore the hatred toward us will grow. All of our neighbors, from day to day, they'll know better and better how to use the natural hate of the world toward the people of Israel, and therefore things aren't going to become any better. You're looking for how can we benefit something here, something there maybe. Maybe Israel will also have something good. The people of Israel won't happen in any way. No point in looking for it. Won't help you. It'll just confuse you. The people of Israel can be well only if they're directed at the purpose of creation and how to direct the rest of humanity to the purpose of creation. If they advance them, things are going to be good. If they don't, then things aren't. At an ever-growing pace and rate.
The UN suggests that we should be very calm, we should hold back. That's what the UN is advising. What do you say?
What the UN says, this, I don't want to hear about it. The UN always says that. They can't say anything else.
So without the UN, should we calm the spirits and calm down the nerves about this, or...
We have to attack them in order to buy time to attack ourselves, our ego, and to really understand what do we need to do.
Yeah. What does that mean, to attack our ego?
That we'll find the exact root of the problem, which is our lack of will to connect, to see that the connection is the goal and the solution. And that's it.
What mutual aravut does there need to be in the people of Israel now?
What? Whatever the group of Nebuch shows them, passes on to them. Can't be any other way. I don't see any source for mutual guarantee that exists in the people of Israel, from where the nation receives knowledge, guidance, understanding, something. No. Only Bnei Boch themselves, they're the ones that aren't doing what they have to do. It's a problem. It's a problem. There's still some kind of a... From above, we're still given some more time, and we're not given a hard time, because actually the ball is in our hands. We have to start doing it, we see. And if we don't, then first of all, the blow should come to us. Upon us.
Ma. יש לנו איך להשתמש בכל מה שקורה כ...
Do we have how to use what's happening as a field upon which we connect in Arvut? Meaning how to use this to move us to more connection? Or is what's happening...
You're not impressed by this. You think that the world exists outside of this, and the city of Ashkelon in the south of Israel and Gaza and everything else exists outside of this, and we and Europe and everything. You don't feel that all in all these things, they exist and are on hold. And the treatment, the remedy has to come from us.
Do I need to come into contact with some people?
No, not at all. The main thing is that we'll be in Arvut, and then to the extent to which we ourselves stabilize the Arvut among us, it'll start spreading to the rest of the people of Israel.
But we shouldn't use this as a more external force that's pushing us towards connection?
What you have isn't enough, the external force.
Probably
pushing
not.
Us toward connection. You want something else to happen in Gaza?
I'm not talking about that.
What's supposed to happen?
Incorporating this, read about this. There's people that have no idea what's happening.
Doesn't matter, but they hear something. They just have to understand that we're to blame for what's happening, and only we. Not the chief of staff, not the soldiers, not the left wing, right wing, no one, only we. This should be very clear.
The problem is that we don't feel a connection. We feel kind of obtuse to it, and it's not happening to me.
So I'm telling you,
no?
There is a connection. You want to see the connection? Start working. Make an effort, and then you'll see that the connection's there. You can't discover the connection before you perform some kind of action.
In continuation of what we should do, once during the war we used to go and do circles for connection. Is this possibly a time to go and connect the people?
The nation's also indifferent towards this. If there are no missiles falling someplace, then people there are calm. It's a problem. Very big problem. We're being awoken more and more and more, and the people aren't waking up, the people aren't changing, things are becoming worse, and we're not changing. This is what you wanted to hear, Dudi? I have nothing further to add. It's all the same. The solution is the same solution. Where are we?
Item 10. This is what gives us the foul taste of shame and impatience when we receive from others by way of charity. Because in the Creator there is no such thing as reception of favors, as from whom would he receive? Because this element does not exist in our root, we feel it as repulsive and loathsome. On the other hand, we feel delight and pleasure every time we bestow upon others, since that conduct exists in our root, which gives to all.
Meaning that if we acquire vessels of bestowal, then in them we start feeling the expansion of the upper light, and we really start attaining bestowal upon others as something good and pleasant, exalted, that gives us eternity, perfection, abundance, everything. But it's on condition that we acquire these vessels of bestowal. Now, read some more.
Item 11. Now we have found a way to examine the purpose of creation, which is to cling unto Him in its true appearance. This exaltedness and vikut, which is guaranteed to come to us through our work in Torah and Mitzvot, is no more and no less than the equivalence of the branches with their root. All the gentleness and pleasure and sublimity become a natural extension here, as we have said above. First, that pleasure is only the equivalence of form with the Maker. And when we equalize in every conduct with our root, we sense the light. And two, everything we encounter that is not in our root becomes intolerable, disgusting, or considerably painful to us, as is necessitated by that concept. And we naturally find that our very hope depends on the extent of our equivalence of form with our root,
which is the main law in creation, the law of equivalence of form. Regarding the Creator, how much all the parts of creation are in equivalence, correspondingly they determine their inner state.
Yeah. I wanted to ask about what Dudi asked before. Simply, last night we were noted that the house of the aunt of my wife, a rocket fell there and destroyed everything. The only thing that remained from the whole house is the bomb shelter and a bedroom. And usually if such a thing happens to people, they try to understand, why is it happening specific to me? What's the thing? So do you have what to say? Is there anything to say?
No. From this we learn about the Arvut. We can't say why does it happen, because still it could be that, see, the entire nation is undergoing different states, and Those that suffer are actually those that are physically there. But were you to see the entire picture, then you'd see some kind of a supplementation that these suffer physically and these suffer in a more spiritual or a different corporeal way and so on. People aren't aware of it, but everyone's suffering due to what's going on. As a result of the absence of the Arvut between us, what we discover are the missiles. Here you have bombs falling. There you have the stock market falling. There is something else. Still, everyone's suffering. No less and no more. Later we'll see how it all, how it's divided among everyone.
The person who's having this happen has no ability to understand why it's happening to him.
No, how can they throughout history we see that? No.
So what does this scrutiny give them? Why is he given such a scrutiny? Where does it help him?
Why is it happening to me? In order for you to bring them the method of correction.
But why?
They themselves, they won't be able to discover this. How can they? A person that a missile falls on his own, that as a result he gets the right understanding and feeling about it, and for him to start understanding, well, no, never.
That's the way to awaken a person to the method of correction?
Yeah.
To bring a rocket down on his house?
Yeah, please, write it on the net, write about it everywhere. You have what to add.
And what... Now he has no home, so what will it give him now, this method of correction?
That he has no home now, he can listen better.
But what does he need this for? Now what's hurting him is that he has no home.
Then he'll know why. He'll know why. And he'll know that now that he won't only care for his spiritual home, but also for the for his corporeal home, but also for the spiritual one, to build it. This way, he'll more quickly reach the truth. And the truth consists of two: corporeality and spirituality.
So eventually it turns out that all that's happening in the world is because there's no power of Arvut against that?
Of course, because it's all unclean. Of all of mankind, of all of reality, of the still vegetative animate speaking, everyone's in Arvut. And regarding the Arvut, where we have to be today, the difference between what we have and what we want, it gives us these kinds of forms.
So if what we're demanding here is to do Arvut, is to save this, it depends only on us, but is there some act of Arvut that we can do in order to balance something?
Yeah.
What?
Explanation. That's it. Like Baal Shem writes in The Last Generation. That's all there is to do. Only explanation. Right? You want to add, please?
Maybe a few short quotes, verses from Maor Vashemesh. The main protection from calamity is love and unity. And when there is in Israel love and unity and friendship between one another, there is no room for any calamity to happen. And by that, all the curses and sufferings are distanced. From Shem Mishmuel, when the unity of Israel returns to its perfection, the devil will not be able to bring fault into them. Because when they are as one man in one heart, they are as a blemished wall before their enemies. From Toda, we were commanded in every generation to strengthen between us the unity so that our haters won't be in control of us. From Shem Mishmuel, our enemies triumph over them will be through the unity of Israel. From Ovad Shemesh again, when there is unity in Israel, and they are all as one man in one heart, they can bring down all those who rise against them. And last one from Sfat Emet. The people of Israel became guarantors to correct the whole world, because everything depends on the people of Israel. Just as they correct themselves, all the creatures follow them.
So that all of our friends around the world will understand that only in our connection can we reach the complete Moscow. Correction. Moscow.
Dear World Kli, today we wanted to share with you that there is going to be an event, a very big event that we're hoping will be a huge investment in our connection and love, upon which C just read now at 6 o'clock Israel, 7 o'clock Moscow time. We're going to have another intro lecture where we expect to have between 50 to 100 people coming to. It's unique in the fact that in its preparation, the connection that was the calls that we made to people to invite them, the whole group participated in this. It was huge support, and we're hoping that in this lecture we will be able to bring the force and the warmth of the connection and the love of the connection in our points, and they will feel this. In this intro lecture, we have an inner cry to every person in this world to awaken them, so that we can awaken that good connection with the rest of people and not with the blows that we talked about so far. And for this to bring contentment to the Creator together. And to conclude the Zohar lesson, you're invited to watch today, 5:30 Israel time, PM, live lesson with Zohar in the Sviva Tova. Thank you to our TV viewers, and good day. The Fundamentals of the Wisdom of Kabbalah. The Kabbalah Alam campus is happy to invite you to an acquaintance with the Wisdom of Kabbalah towards the opening of a course of the Foundations of Kabbalah. These evenings will take place in 18 branches all over the country. Entrance is 30 shekel and with RSVPing. For details, go to KABCOIL or on the phone 1-700-509-209. Thank you and good day.
ניתן לאור לחדור אל חדרי